I always want to have a plan, whether it's a plan to get the chores done at night before we go to bed, or a plan for the next day, or a plan for the next week, or the next 5 years. I always want to have a plan. I'm always asking Katie, so what's the plan? What are we doing? I try to plan out my study. We do try to plan getting the chores done. We plan when to see our family, when to see our friends. We plan when to take holidays, and so many other things. What about you? Do you like to have a plan? In our culture, we just need to plan to some degree. Sure, some of us are more organized than others, but we all need to plan. The question is, do we plan with reference to God? Do we plan our lives in line with God's will or our own will? Do we plan trusting God or trusting ourselves? This is the question that James poses to us this morning. How do you plan? Do you plan knowing that God is real and powerful? Or do you plan as if he doesn't exist? Well, James starts by talking to people who love to plan in verse 13. James says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit." They're planning, aren't they? These traders, these merchants, they're planning to go into town, maybe down to Sydney, start a new job, maybe a tech startup, and make some money. They're planning to live for themselves. Sound like a good plan? Well, not so much. As James goes on, he makes it very clear that this is not a good plan. James isn't encouraging these traders, these businessmen. He's calling them out to rebuke them. He's calling them out to rebuke them because they're living a life without reference to God. A life without reference to God. This is the first point on the back of the notice sheet this morning. These people may think they're Christians, but James is saying that they're practical atheists. They're living as if they're the master of their own destiny. Back in chapter 3, James says that through the words we say to ourselves, we control our lives. And here James is talking about how we speak to ourselves as if God doesn't exist. Did you see it at the start of verse 13? James says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to town and make a profit." We've all spoken that way, haven't we? You've all had thoughts and ideas that just conveniently forget about who God is. Let's look closely at the picture that James paints and see the ways in which we plan without God. Firstly, we assume that we have time. Without a second thought, we suppose that we have almost endless time, that just like clockwork, the earth will continue to rotate around the sun. And we assume that the time we have is ours to use as we see fit. Today or tomorrow, the traders will go to town and spend a year there. Now, I think that we assume we have time in both the big picture and the small. In the big picture, we assume we have a whole career ahead of ourselves, 20, 30, 40 years. And so we make plans. We plan to climb the ranks at work. We plan to complete further study. We plan our dream job, our own house in the ideal location. Then we plan the renovations. We plan that new bathroom, the perfect kitchen. We plan those personal projects, whatever's in the shed or on the sewing machine. We plan our kids' education. We plan the holiday we've always looked forward to. And we plan our comfortable retirement. And in all these plans, it's just so easy for God to slip off the radar. And on the small level, we plan every minute of every day, don't we? We assume it's ours to play with. I do this all the time. My days can be so crammed full that I don't have time for anything extra. And if you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm not a planner, well, you're still assuming you have time. You're just assuming it in a different way. You're assuming that there will be time for all the plans in your head to work out. We assume we have time. Now, I should say that there's nothing wrong with long-term plans or organising your weekly schedule. We'll come back to this a bit later, but the key is not planning itself. It's our attitude as we plan. Secondly, we assume we have control. We assume that simply by deciding something, it's going to happen. That I can just decide to live here and work over here. We certainly have choice. I'm not denying that. We were made with choice in how we spend our lives, but as we'll see, we don't have control. Thirdly, when we live without reference to God, we presume on our ability. We weigh up what we can do. We know our skills and our qualifications, and we depend on them. We ask ourselves, what can I do? Then we go to TAFE or uni and get a degree and plan our ideal job, and we base the rest of our life around that. We say to ourselves, I'll go to the city and get a job as an engineer and make some money and be comfortable. And that's the fourth assumption we make without God. We assume the goal, living for ourselves. That's what life is about, isn't it? Living for ourselves, making a profit so that we're comfortable, so that life is easy, so that we look good. Those ideal jobs, they always pay well, don't they? We never aim for something that just pays mediocre. And you don't want your kids to have middle-of-the-range jobs, do you? No, you want your kids to have good jobs, to earn good money. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with working and making money. In fact, that's how we're made. In our society, we need money to survive and to be generous. The problem isn't working and making money in itself. It's the attitude behind our work and our earnings that matters. You know, it feels to me like James is talking to the rich fool in Luke 12. Remember him? He had plenty, didn't he? He'd made a profit. So what did he do? He built a bigger barn to store it all. He said to himself, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years, so relax. Eat, drink, be merry. He assumed he had time. He assumed he'd reached the goal. But what did God say? God said, you fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you've prepared, whose will they be? The rich fool didn't have the time he assumed. His plans, his efforts, his new barn was all in vain. And he had the wrong goal, didn't he? He thought life was all about him. What makes this so tough is that this is the message of our culture. It's in the air we breathe. For the kids at school, the message is you can be whoever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. And in the workplace, it's all about performance and achieving goals. And that's why James this morning is so important. He's so refreshing. He's so countercultural. Are you living a life without reference to God? Are you planning to go to the office tomorrow or maybe just your computer? Are you planning to trade and make a profit and be comfortable? You're here this morning, which is fantastic, but are you living the rest of the week as if you're the master of your own destiny? Is it your time, your skill, your strength, your ability that matters? Is your life all about you? There will be ways in which all of us will answer yes to these questions. We all have plans, goals, ambitions that forget about God. We all have idols in our hearts. There are parts of your lives in which you are the master of your own destiny. What is it for you? What are you chasing after without God? Are you making plans for comfort, for approval, for joy outside of Christ? Are you striving for self-worth to show that you can do it? We could go on, couldn't we? Talking about the different idols of the human heart, the different plans we make without God. And we're great at hiding this kind of thing. I'm sure that in many ways you are faithfully following Jesus, but at the same time we all harbour ambitions as if he doesn't exist. Well, In this passage, James pours a bucket of cold water on all our plans. You want to make plans, James says? Well, that's a bit silly because you don't know tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. This is the second point from verse 14. You just don't know tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Don't boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring." Sure, in God's grace, there's regularity in life. The sun rises and sets, seasons come and go. And for us here in Australia, life is mostly stable. You'll probably go to work tomorrow or school or whatever else you do on a Monday morning. But at the same time, your life could change significantly tomorrow. I don't want to get morbid or alarmist, but every day people's lives do change. Maybe through tragedy or accident, or even unexpected blessing. We just don't know what tomorrow will bring, which makes it hard to plan, doesn't it? Which makes it hard to be the master of your own destiny. And then James tips another bucket of cold water on us. He reminds us who we are. We're a mist, a vapor. In other words, you were born, you're here for a little while, then you disappear. Gone. Just like that. Of course you don't know what tomorrow will bring. How can we? We may not even be here tomorrow. We're a mist, frail and weak. We don't have the strength, nor the ability, nor the knowledge to be masters of our own destiny. Planning without reference to God, well, it's foolish because we don't know the future. We're weak, pitiful creatures. We don't know tomorrow, but God does. This is the third point on the outline. We don't know tomorrow, but God does. Whereas we are weak, He is strong. We are a creature, He is the creator. We don't have control over this life, but He does. We are temporal, He is eternal. James doesn't spell this out in the verses we read this morning, but I think it's implicit in his argument. And this is why we read Psalm 139. Because in this psalm, David celebrates exactly this, God's knowledge and strength and power. Come with me to Psalm 139, verse 2. David says, "You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." God knows. God knows your thoughts. God knows your words. God knows your actions. And this is a knowledge that we don't need or want. God is your creator, and He knows the rest of your life. Come down to verse 16, where David says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." God knows. God knows you, and God knows tomorrow. And unlike us, God's not going anywhere. What He says will happen, that will happen. God has the strength to carry it out. So where does this leave us? How do we live as mist in God's world? What do we need to do? We need to live under God's will. This is the fourth point in the outline from verse 15. We need to recognize that we are not masters of our own destiny. Instead, we need to see that God is God and that we are but a vapor, that this is His world, that He makes the sun rise and set, that He controls all things, and that we're weak creatures, totally dependent on Him for our life and being. We need to get this. In other words, we need to live a life of faith. Instead of speaking words of presumption to ourselves, instead of telling ourselves that we've got everything under control, we need to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and that. Now, there's a small catch here. For some people, when they say, if the Lord wills, they really mean, I hope so. You may have heard someone say, God willing, I'll get this job that I applied for. Or if it's the Lord's will, I'll make the team. And in these cases, I think that it's mostly just Christian speak for what I want to happen. But that's not what James is talking about. James is talking about a real, genuine recognition of God's place and our place. James is talking about recognizing that God gives us our life, that in Him we live and move and have our being, that we are dependent on Him for all things, that He is the giver, the provider of all good gifts, that He makes the sun rise and set every morning, that He makes the rain fall. And James is talking about recognizing that we're a mist that appears and then vanishes, that we're weak and feeble. When we get this right, well, now we can begin to plan. Because as I said earlier, James isn't saying we shouldn't plan at all. He's saying we need to plan in faith. We need to plan with a deep underlying trust in God as our sustainer of life. We need to plan knowing our own frailty, our own weaknesses, our own feebleness. We need to plan in line with God's will. Because not only is the picture of verse 13 silly, it's actually sinful. The traders described there, the businessmen, what were they aiming to do? They were building up treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy. They were living for themselves. This is the fifth point from verses 16 and 17. Those who live without God, the practical atheists, those who build bigger barns, well, they boast in their arrogance, James says, and this is evil. What we're talking about this morning, it's not simply a wisdom issue. It's not only that it's stupid to live without reference to God, who gives life and controls all things. It's actually sinful. When we know how we should live and we don't live that way, well, this is sin, James says. So what do we need to do? We need to repent. We need to say sorry for the ways that we plan, ignoring God. We need to say sorry for the ways that we rely on our own strength and ability. We need to repent of the times that you live for yourself and plan in line with God's will. Throughout his letter, James is calling us to be doers of the word, and it's no different here. James is saying that we need to get who God is, that we need to get who we are, and then live in line with God's will as revealed in the Bible. We need to be doers of the word. When teaching us to pray, Jesus says that we should pray that God's will be done. We know that we shouldn't live for ourselves. We shouldn't store up treasures on earth for our own comfort. Rather, we should live to store up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy. One person who got this was Charles Thomas Studd, or C.T. Studd. I can thank Steve for this cricket illustration, because C.T. Studd was a great cricketer. In fact, he played in the first ever Ashes Test match for Australia all the way back in 1882. This is the game where England lost to Australia, and so the English press mourned the death of English cricket, and the legend of the Ashes was born. Now, C.T. Studd played for England, but we'll forgive him for that, because he understood what we're talking about today. He knew how to plan in line with God's will. C.T. Studd said, I know that cricket won't last. I know that honour won't last. I know that nothing in this world will last. But it is worthwhile living for the world to come. So C.T. Studd chose to stop playing cricket, and instead he became a missionary and took the gospel to China. Look him up. Have a read of what he did. It's really encouraging. He planned in line with God's will. He didn't chase his own glory. He didn't live for himself. Rather, he understood God's will in the Bible, and he planned in line with that. Now, just quickly, when we talk about God's will, sometimes we can get hung up here. Sometimes we want to know God's specific will for our lives. Does God want me to become a missionary like C.T. Studd or a doctor or maybe a cleaner? How do I know what God's will is? Well, that's a sermon in itself, but again, very quickly, I think what happens is that we can get so hung up on what we don't know that we forget what we do know. We're called to live holy, righteous lives. We're called to spread the gospel. That's God's will for your life. It's not that complicated. Put on the new self, righteous and holy. So knowing who God is, knowing who we are, and knowing God's will as revealed in the Bible, well, we can make plans in line with that, trusting him. And that's what James is saying here. We don't know tomorrow, but we certainly know God's will in the Bible. So we can plan in line with that. Now, this is not an attitude that will come overnight. Knowing God and knowing yourself, well, that'll come as you spend more time reading the Bible. But I encourage you today to commit again to planning in line with God's will, because when you do, it's worth it. It'll take a great load off your back. Because, you see, the problem of relying on your own strength, the problem of being master of your own destiny, is that one day your strength will fail. One day your choices won't bring success. One day your skill, your knowledge, your ability won't be enough. And on that day, you'll find out that in yourself, you could never do it. You were never strong enough. You were never clever enough. You never had control. But when you see things as they truly are, that God is God and that we are but a mist, when you plan in line with God's will, his righteous will as revealed in the Bible, when you trust him, when you know your weakness, then you don't need to bear the burden of your plans. It's not all on you. When you plan this way, you're putting your trust in God. The one of infinite power, the one of infinite knowledge, the one of infinite wisdom, the one of infinite strength is the one who will carry your plans. You don't know tomorrow, but God does. As Solomon said, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. When you plan in line with his will, you can trust him with the outcome. Things may not pan out as you want or expect, but we know that what happens is good, because that's what Paul says. Paul says, for those who love God, all things work together for good. So, quickly before we finish, how do you know if you're planning in line with God's will? Or to put it another way, how do you know if you're a practical atheist? How do you tell if you're living the rest of your life without reference to God? Well, I've put together some diagnostic questions that may help. Here's the first one. Firstly, have you got your assumptions right? Remember the wrong assumptions the traders made back in verse 13? Well, ask yourself if you've got the right assumptions. Are you planning assuming your time is finite and a gift from God? Or do your plans still assume all the time in the world? Do you recognize that your ability is from God, that he's blessed you with skills and abilities that will allow you to work? Or are your plans all about what you can do? Are you planning assuming that God's in control? Or are you still assuming that you're the master of your own destiny? And finally, are you seeking the right goal? Are your plans seeking the kingdom of God or your own glory? The second big question, do you see your weakness? As you plan, are you realistic about your frailty? Do you see that you're a mist that's about to disappear? Or again, are your plans all based on your own strength? Thirdly, how tightly are you holding to your plans? If that promotion, if the new place, if the renovation, the job offer, if they don't come through, will you be crushed? You don't know what tomorrow will bring, but your Heavenly Father will provide all you need. And finally, let's zoom in on the goal. Are your plans seeking treasure in heaven? Can you honestly say that your plans from the big to the small are seeking his kingdom and his righteousness? Because if that's the case, I can tell you one thing for sure. you'll be planning to be here at church. If you're seeking God's kingdom, you'll be planning to pray regularly. If you're seeking his righteousness, you'll be looking to encourage other Christians to grow the church, to do so many other things. If these regular spiritual disciplines aren't part of your plans, then that's a good sign that you may be planning without God. I hope that these questions will help you to assess your own plans and to plan more in line with God's will. So, we've been asking the question, how do you plan? Are you like the traders of verse 13, living a life without reference to God? Or are you living in line with God's will? As people who have put your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you to trust him with your plans. And don't just pay him lip service. Truly trust him, the one who knows what tomorrow will bring. Let him carry the weight of your plans, knowing that all things will work together for our good.